This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 to 24, and that can be found on page 1047 of the Pew Bibles. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I have just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'"
Great. Thank you, Rachel. Let's pray just as we look at that together. Father, we pray that as we look at this parable, that you might speak to us, speak to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to imagine that you receive an invitation to an amazing event. Okay? The invitation comes through the post. It's not in an email you might miss. Comes through the post. When you pick it up, just the weight of the envelope and the quality of the paper tells you it contains something special. So you open it, and it is the invitation of your dreams. Now, you're going to have to use your imagination here, because what would that be for you? Maybe tickets to see your favourite band or artist, or the latest hot ticket musical, and the tickets, they're like right at the front. So you can see their faces, and a backstage tour afterwards included. Or maybe it's tickets for a great sporting event. Wimbledon's coming soon. Wimbledon final, full hospitality, royal box seats. Whatever it is, what would it be for you? One of your friends is treating a group of friends, and they want you there to join them, if you'd like to. I'd like to imagine receiving that and then replying to your friend. "Oh, thank you so much for your invitation. Unfortunately, I've got a plumber coming that day. So I'm going to have to say no." Can you imagine doing that? No one would do that. Well, this morning we're going to hear about an amazing invitation. It's an invitation beyond your wildest dreams. It's an invitation from God himself to you and to me. It is an invitation that is open to all. It may seem incredible, but it is true. So we're going to learn about that, and then we're going to think about our response to it. We learn about this invitation because Jesus tells a parable at a time when he had accepted an invitation to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, one of the very highly respected Jewish leadership of the day. So at this dinner party, many of the great and the good were there. And so the Pharisee had understandably invited Jesus, because Jesus had attracted quite a following at this time. Though possibly the Pharisee was beginning to regret that invitation, because Jesus had already really unsettled people. He'd healed somebody, even though it was the Sabbath, and then they didn't like that. But then he just showed up their complete lack of compassion, because their strict rules and traditions, they wouldn't have allowed that. And then he exposes their pride, because he notices that everyone there is trying to take the most important seats. And he says, that's not God's way. You should be humbling yourselves, not exalting yourselves over each other. And then he challenges the host over his guest list, because he's only invited his friends and his rich neighbours. And Jesus says, you should invite those who can offer you nothing in return. That is the mark of someone who will get a heavenly reward. So you can imagine the atmosphere is a bit tense at this dinner party. What's he going to say next? But then somebody calls out, verse 15, see it there. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Now, it might be this person is just trying to lighten the atmosphere. You know, some people are very good at that, aren't they? You know, atmosphere's a bit tense. They didn't know just the thing to say, just to distract or move things on, a light comment, something positive and uncontroversial, maybe. You know, what a blessing to eat in the kingdom of God. So it might be that, or it might be that Jesus' words about the resurrection of the righteous have produced a real longing for eternal life with God in his kingdom. How great it will be to be there. And maybe this person's got there's a note of concern in their voice. I hope I'm there. Hope I'm included. Maybe that's a concern that you share. You know, Jesus speaks of eternal life in his kingdom with him. I want to be there. Will I be there? Well, whatever he meant, Jesus replies by telling a parable. We're going through these famous stories at the moment. And this one, like many others, it seems simple enough, doesn't it? Man has a great banquet, invites many guests. When it's time for them to come, they all send excuses. And so he sends his servant out to go and bring in the lowly, the poor, the crippled, until eventually the house is full. And those originally invited, they miss out altogether. Now, with any Bible passage, it's good to think, what was the original point, the original context? And what's clear here is that Jesus is aiming this parable at the Jewish leadership of the time, many of whom are assembled there. And his point is that because they are rejecting him, because they refuse to accept that he has come from God, God is going to go to other people. He's going to go to the Gentiles. He's going to call people from every other kingdom on earth to come to him. And that is actually what happened. The rest of the New Testament church history testifies that that happened. Around 2 billion people of every nationality today claim to be followers of Christ in some way. So the original point, can you see, was a real rebuke to the followers, to the Jews of the time. You know, because you're rejecting me, God's going to go to others. And if you consider yourselves to be God's people, you're going to end up missing out, Jesus says. But there's no question this parable also speaks more broadly. Because now God's invitation has gone out to the whole world, to all people, including us. So the question is, how will we respond to his invitation? We're going to look a bit more closely. We're going to look at this great invitation. And then we're going to hear a warning about excuses. So first, a great invitation. Look, verse 16. Jesus replied, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. So you can pick up from that, at the time it was customary to send out two invitations to a great event. So one was an initial one, sort of save the date, let people know that they're invited. And then another went out when the preparations were complete. And actually a servant was sent out to tell the guests, now's the time, everything is ready. And what an invitation it is. A great banquet. It might sound a bit formal and stuffy. You know, you've probably been to some occasions, perhaps, where, you know, slightly grand occasion, it's nicer included, but It's all a bit formal, and the food's really great, but you have to make small talk to people you don't really know very well, and spend all your time trying to figure out, which is the melon spoon or whatever it is. And it's all quite draining, isn't it, that kind of thing? Well, don't think like that. Rather think of the most joyful occasion, where you are made to feel completely welcome and at home, where you enjoy everyone's company, and the host's attitude is, my house is your house, and they want to treat you to the best of everything. The happiest of times, enjoying the best of things in the best of company. That's the kind of thing. And the host wants you there. Be a part of it. Join me. And the first thing I want to say is that, do you know that is a picture of what God is inviting us to? Did you know that God is like that? That's his character. Now, for some of us, God just seems very distant and aloof. We don't know if he's there. And if he is, we think, well, he's just far away. And he's just got no interest in us. Better things to do. Or we know he's there, but we kind of treat him like he's distant and not interested in our lives or our concerns. And the Bible says that is not true at all. It tells us about a God who made us for relationship with him. He wants us to enjoy life with him, to take our joys and our sorrows to him and give us hope for the future. He offers us friendship. He's offering us friendship. And he's inviting us to his feast in his wonderful new world. Others of us, we believe God is there, and he gives us direction in life, sort of a moral compass that guides us, an insurance policy for when we die. But we don't really think much about what's beyond that. We're glad there is something beyond that, but our focus is on the here and now. And I want to say again, God's invitation is much greater than that. He wants us to know him now. He wants us to know him then and experience that joy of being with him. He wants us to be at the feast. Yeah? So yes, it's a picture, but it's a picture of a wonderful reality that God is offering that awaits God's people. And we should be looking forward to it, much as a couple who are engaged kind of long for their wedding and their new life together. God's invitation to us is a great invitation. And all the more so because he's done everything necessary so that we might receive it. Just notice those words in verse 17. The second invite goes out. Come, for everything is now ready. Are you a planner? Are you someone who likes planning a big event, big party? Some people love it, don't they? Love their lists and working through it all. That's as much fun as it as actually having the party itself, some people. Other people hate that stuff, so they hire party planners to kind of sort it all out for them. But any occasion needs lots of planning. Are you aware of all that God has done so that you can be welcome to his heavenly banquet? How he came into the world so that we can know him. And Jesus perfectly reveals God to us. So when we look at Jesus, his character, his power, his compassion, doesn't that show us a God we want to know? He's saying, come and know this God. Come and know me. But that's not all God has done. Because actually he had to do more. Because naturally we can't just be welcomed into God's kingdom, into his presence. Why? Because of what we're like. Because of how we all naturally treat God. We live in his world, enjoy all his stuff, but we push him away. We don't deserve to be included. We deserve to be shut out. And yet God still wants to know us. And so he sent Jesus, his one and only son, into the world and then to the cross to die in our place. This is the heart of the Christian good news. On the cross, Jesus was cut off from God so that we don't have to be. And then God raised him from the dead, enthroned him in heaven, and he now calls us, turn to him, receive his forgiveness, so that there might be no barrier at all to you entering God's kingdom. Come, God says. Everything is now ready. Now, for his part, God has done everything so that we might be welcomed in. And now he issues this great invitation. So we need to know that if we end up missing out on this feast, this banquet, this life with God, it won't be because of something he's not done. Actually, it'll be because of some excuse. And that's what we're going to look at next. First, a great invitation. But then I want to say, beware of excuses. So we come to verse 18. Having sent out his servant to the invited guests to tell them everything's ready, we read that they all alike began to make excuses. And I wonder what you make of those excuses in 18 to 20. Do you think, are they good excuses or not? I think you can kind of go either way on that. Some people say that they're really lame excuses. You know, who buys land without going to inspect it first? Who would buy that many oxen at that time without going and having a look at them first? I mean, that's like, you know, buying a second-hand car without going and taking it for a test drive. And as for the person who says they can't come because they've just got married, I mean, it's just rude, isn't it? You're not going to go out anymore now you're married? Other people say, actually, no, these are much more genuine excuses. Maybe the first person has a long-awaited opportunity to acquire some land, and the contract's been prepared, but obviously he's got to see it before he signs on the dotted line. Or similarly, if the second person's got the offer of buying the oxen, well, that's a significant investment. He's got to go and check these animals over. And for the one recently married, well, actually, even the Old Testament said that if the nation was going to war, if a man was recently married, he was allowed a year's leave, sort of provision made for someone newly married. So they might be really good excuses. There might be very genuine, real life issues that these people are facing. But I think we know, if we're reading this parable properly, they're not good enough. They're not good enough to justify refusing such a great invitation. Remember, these people, they knew they were invited before. So when the message arrives, come, everything is now ready, it's just not good enough to say, oh, I'm not ready, because something else has come up. And so it is as we apply this to us and the great invitation that God offers us to come to him, to receive his mercy, to enjoy his friendship, to be welcomed into his heavenly home. The excuses we make for refusing his invitation, they don't stand up. You know, sometimes they're really lame. Oh, I'm just a bit too busy. What? Too busy to think about eternity? Yeah. Oh, it's all a bit serious for me. Shouldn't we take life and death and God seriously? Oh, you know, another time. What time are you waiting for? Can we see our excuses may be just hopeless? Other times they might be more serious. Now, I've got these big exams coming. I've got this huge opportunity at work. I've got to give it all my attention. I'm just going through a real crisis at the moment. Or my worst fear has just been realized. The worst thing has happened. It may be that you are facing really important or painful things that just kind of dominate your headspace, and you feel, I just can't think about this at the moment. And what I want to say to you is, I'm not denying that those things are real and challenging and maybe very painful, but can I say they're still not good enough reasons to say no to God's invitation? And I say that for two reasons. I say it first because of what God is like himself, because he's so compassionate. So he understands what you're going through. So just look at Jesus in the Gospels. You know, he's forever encountering people who are facing hardship and suffering, things that just dominate their lives. You know, illness, bereavement, spiritual oppression, social exclusion, guilt, as well as meeting people who are really together and busy, being popular and successful. But did you notice Jesus never says to anyone, okay, come back to me when you're in a better place. Or come back to me when you've got a bit more time. Now, to the hardworking fisherman and businessman, he says, follow me. And to those who are weighed down with all kinds of hardship, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see what he's like? What I'm saying is, whatever you're facing, take it to him. Whatever you're going through, go through it with him. Don't let those things be excuses to resist him. They should be reminders that you need him. So first, no excuses because of what he's like. But also, we need to know our excuses are not good enough because the invitation is so great. There's nothing more important than for us to have eternal peace with God, an eternal relationship with God. There's no opportunity more important, no qualification more important, no experience more important, no project more important, no relationship more important, no hardship, no matter how great, is more important than that. Those things may seem important now, but if I can put it like this, in 10,000 years, they won't seem so big. Whereas peace with God, sharing life with him in his kingdom, if we're there, then that will be our daily joy. So can I say, please beware of excuses, especially the kind of subtle excuse that says, I'm not saying no, just not now. Just one caveat on that. If by saying that you mean I'm interested and I need to find out more, then that's a good thing. But let me urge you to find out more. Speak to a Christian friend who can help. Come and speak to one of us. Join the Hope Explored course. Jesus commends those who want to find out more and to understand what's required and count the cost and all of that. But if we're simply saying, now's not a good time, we are still basically refusing God, aren't we? And that very easily becomes a habit that becomes ingrained over time. So can I urge you not to start down that path? Because the consequences at the end are serious, aren't they? Verse 21, the servant came back and reported to the master, and the owner of the house became angry. You know, maybe you struggle with the idea of a God who becomes angry. But shouldn't we expect him to be angry when he gave his one and only son to die for us so that we can be forgiven and invited into his kingdom? And then we say, oh, sorry, I've got too much on. Wouldn't you be angry? And then notice the tragic note on which the parable ends. Verse 24, I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. And we need to feel the weight of those words. Wouldn't it be tragic to be shut out from the feast, from fellowship with God, in his kingdom, when he did everything so that we could be included? Beware of excuses, please. Make sure you don't refuse his invitation and miss out, because it will be glorious to be there. And you are invited. And do you see in the parable how the host is absolutely determined to fill the places at his banquet? He's prepared a feast to share with those who will come. So he sends his servant out to find people who will come. And look who's eventually welcomed in. Verse 21, not the respectable people, people who feel they've got a right to be there, but the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. It's lovely, isn't it? The kind of people who are used to being turned away and overlooked and pushed aside, they are just streaming through the gates, and security are not stopping them. Who are these people? Well, I think these are the people who they know they don't deserve to be there. They know they don't meet God's standards. They know they've ignored him. They know they've lived for themselves. They know they're powerless to save themselves. They know what's wrong in their hearts. But when they hear that God's invitation is open to them, they just can't believe there is. Can it really be true? And the answer is, yes, it is. Do you know that? Because God has done everything. He's come to us in Jesus. He's gone to the cross. He's risen from the dead. And God has thrown open the doors of his home. And he says to people like us, come. And these people don't have to be asked twice. How about you? Can I ask you, do you hear God's invitation to you today? It might be for the first time. Or it might be you've heard it many times, but today you're hearing it afresh. Maybe that you've wandered from the Lord in some way. You've let other things distract you, come first. Maybe you've been making excuses, and you know it. Well, whoever you are, whatever you've done, God's invitation is for you. Come, he says. Come to Jesus. Everything is now ready. Will you come? Well, I want to finish just by telling you how you could respond. And the way you do that is by speaking to him, by praying. This won't apply to everyone. But if you know that it's time for you to respond, I'm going to close today by saying a prayer that you could echo in your heart. So let's just have a moment's quiet. Maybe let's bow our heads to reflect, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Come, for everything is now ready. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your wonderful and gracious invitation to know you and to be part of your kingdom. Lord, forgive us for resisting you, for ignoring you, for letting other things come before you. Thank you for everything you've done for us, that Jesus died for us. Please come into my life. Please forgive me and help me to live for you and to know you from now on. Amen. I'll just say, if you said that prayer and meant it, then God has heard your prayer. It's a great day for you. Your Christian life begins here if you've prayed that for the first time, but you'll be brand new to these things. New people always need some help, so do please be sure to speak to someone who can help you before you go.